Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Tantra's Mantra, where we go behind and beyond the tech news headlines. I'm your host Prakash Sangam, principal and founder at Tantra Analyst. We are continuing our discussion on Copilot Plus PCs today. As all of you know, these PCs have been on the shelf for almost a month now, and people have had a hands-on experience of them. Many reviews are posted on the websites. I have gotten a few units of for myself from different vendors, and I'm still testing them. The first one I got was from Lenovo. It's a Lenovo Yoga. And I have used it for last few weeks as my daily driver, and I have some mixed experience in terms of software and app compatibility and so on. And I would say most of it is on expected lines, but there are a few surprises as well. I will publish my review in the next couple of days. But today, to discuss the present and the future of Copilot Plus PCs and AI PCs in general, we have Pooja Sathe, who is the director and category leader of worldwide commercial AI PCs at Lenovo, with us today. We will discuss the history of ARM-based PCs, how their journey has been, what has changed now, what the future holds, and other issues, as well as Lenovo's point of view on Copilot Plus PCs as well. Pooja, welcome to the show.
Prakash, thank you for having me on this show. And in fact, this is my inaugural podcast. Like, I have not done a podcast before. So thank you for having me. And I am really excited to be here and talk to you.
Thank you. And it's an honor to be your first podcaster. Could you just give us a quick background on your experience in the PC industry and at Lenovo?
Absolutely. So as you said, I'm leading the commercial AI PC category at Lenovo. This is a newly created team, as you would imagine, with all this AI work streams going on in the industry. I completed 12-year milestone this June with Lenovo, right? So I have been associated with many first product launches, and it has been unintentional, but I was part of the first desktop Tiny, if you remember the Tiny form factor that Lenovo launched first. And then the first P-Series workstation, which is a complete new redesign of the workstation class of devices, very modular. And then recently, I was part of the first Windows on ARM commercial PC with ThinkPad X13s. And this year, the first Copilot Plus PC with the ThinkPad T14s. So a lot of first product launches. And I like to call myself an architect, really developing something from ground up. So a lot of learning, excitement, listening, working across teams internally and externally. It has been a great journey so far.
Indeed, and launching new category of products, I think that's quite some experience, right? And congratulations on launching the Copilot Plus PCs. I think this is the big one, right?
Yeah, it's been it's huge. A lot of good feedback so far.
Very well. So on the feedback, as I mentioned earlier, it's been on the shelves for a month now. What has been the market response so far? Any information on how well these are selling and so on?
So Lenovo launched two Copilot Plus PCs last month. Yep. And so one is the ThinkPad T14s, which is, I'm part of that team. And then you talked about the Yoga Slim 7 that you've used and had hands-on experience with it. So both iconic, well-known brands in enterprise and consumer space, right? Yoga and ThinkPad. And both are powered by the Snapdragon X series. And if you think about it, I've heard your podcast where you talked about really the key pillars of these Copilot Plus PCs, and it's really the best-in-class performance, the battery life, right? And really built for AI with 45 TOPS NPU.
Yep.
So huge excitement in market, right? Our channel partners, our retailers definitely stocking up. Our enterprise customers, as expected, they're requesting devices for testing and evaluation, and that's how the enterprise cycle is. They want to test the device first before they deploy it.
Of course.
So we have a huge seed program for them.
Mm-hmm.
So without, again, it's too early, without delving into the numbers, the response has been fantastic, really, really positive so far from the market.
Well, good to hear, good to hear. So taking a step back, right, when you are designing these PCs, right, you know, obviously a new category, a new with processor, I mean, not really new, but new kind of processor, and you're going big instead of just one model, test model that you had before. And more importantly, going with enterprise market, which is very crucial and it has its own requirement and so on. So what are some of the design criteria that you are talking through with your customers and, you know, internalizing and so on when we're designing these?
So Prakash, we are constantly looking for customer feedback and their input as we create our product roadmap. And one of these platforms for us, I'm not sure whether you know it or not, but it's our customer advisory forums that we hold many times a year across the geos. And again, you may be surprised, may not be surprised, but one of the top requirements coming out of these advisory forums was really around power efficiency. It was really around the battery life.
Yeah, of course.
Which is interesting. So it became like out of the top three priorities for customers, that full day battery life was a big ask. So we knew that it is really important for the customer, and that's why our partnership with Qualcomm. But it becomes more important, especially when you are running AI workloads on the PC, right? Battery becomes much more important. So that's why the introduction of NPU on the PCs. So that was big. And then if I think about the other consideration, it's obvious, but it became more evident, especially with AI PCs, with security, right? So that's another huge aspect when it comes to enterprise and AI adoption in enterprise. So while consumer folks would say thin and light design, beautiful screen, right? We're really looking at providing that best-in-class battery life and enterprise security.
Okay, cool. And specifically, you mentioned about AI features and so on. So, you know, during those sessions before the while you're designing, before making these, and now once these things are with customers, what is that you're hearing on how many features, what features, Copilot Plus AI features that people are really using, you know, consumers on Yoga, but more importantly, I would think, enterprises on ThinkPads. What specific features of these they're using?
So when Microsoft announced these Copilot Plus PCs in May, we started shipping our products last month. So again, it's been a couple of weeks only. Our enterprise customers are starting to get their hands on the devices. We're also running some internal external customer betas with some key customers who really want to be part of the early pre-production units also. So we are running gathering feedback from everywhere. Pretty much AI is very interesting. Customers have tested the enhanced studio effects, and they have also looked at the live translations. These are some of the good features, in addition to if you use the M365 Copilot features, which is on cloud. So really good feedback. But the feedback has been really around, honestly speaking, the performance curves and the battery life and the sustainability, like the power efficiency gains definitely yields to sustainability also. So I don't see the Copilot Plus PC category just AI PC, right? It's a category itself, and Microsoft called it, if I recall, the fastest, most performant PC category, right? So AI is definitely a big part of it, but it's not the only part of it.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I've been using Yoga Slim 7X for a couple of weeks now. I think the hardware is top-notch, no question about it, especially the display. I've used AI features, some more than others. For example, studio effect, of course, is useful anytime you get on a camera, be it Teams calls or, you know, other calls and with friends and so on. I kind of used just for to test out Co-Creator and others. My feeling is these are not yet at a level where they become necessities, right? They are good to have, but not necessarily anybody goes and buys a PC for these features, right? On the contrary, I think battery life, as you mentioned, is stellar, right? I mean, you don't have to even think about whether I have enough battery life to last for the day, even after using it for a few hours.
Yeah.
And I think display, and as consumer PC, of course, display is really, you know, bright and very colorful. And of course, leak and light, which is perfect. I think my view is, since this is the back to school season, I think it's perfect for kids going to, you know, going back to school, be it the high schools or the colleges, you know, obviously at that price point, right? So,
yeah,
I agree with you that I think still, you know,
yeah.
Of course, the performance, battery and display and the form factor for consumers are, you know, key things. And enterprises, of course, same things, but more on the battery and security. Yeah, good to know. So, and as you mentioned, one of the biggest factor in bringing this performance, NPU, and more importantly, battery life is use of Qualcomm X-Elite platform in these. So as you mentioned, we've been working on Windows and ARM for some time. I actually used the 5G PC, as it's called in the US, Lenovo 5G PC, for almost a year as my primary PC for productivity use cases to see it. I think it was really, really nice. Connectivity, battery life was top-notch.
Good to hear.
Yeah. And the biggest issue, app compatibility, right? And it has significantly improved the situation that is, but still not a solved problem, right? Fully solved problem, I would say.
So you're right. It has been a journey. And I, as I initially mentioned, that my team was responsible to launch the commercial Windows on ARM device with the ThinkPad X13s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not new for us. It has been a multi-year partnership with Qualcomm and Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, we aim to solve the biggest pain point for our customer, which was battery life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we launched on the consumer side, the 5G PC, the Flex 5G, on commercial, the X13s.
Yeah.
We ran a lot of customer beta. Since it's a new architecture, and really massive testing across hundreds of customers.
Mm-hmm.
And what didn't work, right, if you think about it, of course, application compatibility was a big challenge.
Yeah.
It was not very mature back in 2022. In fact, my team pretty much worked very closely with Microsoft and Qualcomm.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the customer testing that we were doing with the product, we created a list of top 100 critical applications, the enterprise critical applications that's needed. And it was really around security, device management, you name it, productivity, collab, VPN.
Yep.
So we created a list of 100 applications and we said, we need to solve the list of these top 100 enterprise applications, right? And we worked closely with Qualcomm, Microsoft. We jumped on multiple ISV calls to talk about the business case, to talk about the value proposition of these devices. And we started with 40 compatible applications in 2022.
Uh-huh.
Fast forward it to 2024. We achieved all the 100 applications compatibility. Like all those 100 applications are compatible now and many, many more. So of course, it's not 100% compatibility and you will still see issues here and there.
Yeah.
But I like to see the growth and I like to see where we started and where we are. And I definitely expect as a customer starts testing these devices, we would remove a lot of their hurdles around the applications, if not 100%, but very, very close to 90-95% of the application.
Yeah, and you know, Chrome supporting on native, I think that was a big change, right?
That's a big one. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is a work which I'm really proud of that we did, and it's going to benefit pretty much all the OEMs.
Yeah.
But it's an important work to move the ecosystem.
Absolutely. And I know one thing I find it still surprising is, especially from coming from a consumer side while testing yoga, there is no good source to find out whether a specific application may not be, you know, top 100, but the esoteric application that you might be using, whether it is supported or not. It basically, you have to install. It sometimes works, it doesn't work, then you have to find out whether it's compatibility issue or something else, and so on. I don't know how is it on the enterprise space. Maybe there is a good resource where could be a simple lookup table that anybody could go check whether the app they're looking at works, supported either as a native app or through emulator and so on. But that is seriously lacking, at least from a consumer point of view.
Yeah, no, welcome to my world. I've been we've been working with both Microsoft and Qualcomm on this. And in fact, Qualcomm, I'm not sure whether they listed a lot of applications on their website.
Correct, yeah. They do have a list, yes.
Yeah, like window application lists on their website. They're, without going into details, they're also probably working with a third party to list all these applications so that it's accessible for consumers specifically. On the commercial side, you might be aware of the Microsoft AppAssure team, right? They work very closely with the commercial customers. We internally have a list of all these applications showing compatibility across all collaboration, productivity, device management, pretty much all the categories. So internally for our Lenovo sellers. But the AppAssure team is a good place to start with for commercial customers. They have a fast pass program and they can really help the customers. But you're right. I think a third party or a place that houses all the applications would be super beneficial.
And also when you're, you know, using an app, you don't know whether it is running natively or through an emulation, right? And that's been my pet peeve. But I would agree that for regular consumers, at least, doesn't matter as long as the app experience is good. It doesn't matter that it's running in emulation or the native mode, but of course the performance will always be better in native mode. So sure, you've been testing the new emulator that Microsoft has. What has been your experience?
We're seeing, if you run the benchmarks, and I've seen the benchmarks from Microsoft as well as our development teams, we definitely are seeing up to 10-15% performance improvements, right? So that's huge, and it's competing really effectively with the native application. So it's pretty good. I'm pleased with the performance improvements that we have seen.
Okay, cool. So another one on the app compatibility. When I talk to CIOs and IT managers, I mean, they have had this experience before. So they're still, you know, a little bit skeptical. And I'm sure, as you mentioned, they're, you know, they've got these pieces in their hands now and testing and so on. So guys, doing anything specifically to allay those fears? I mean, top 100 applications is good, but if you're a CIO, you know, buying thousands of pieces and giving it to all of your employees, you want to make sure all the applications that they am using, you know, not just top 100, be compatible. Otherwise, there'll be long list of tickets that, you know, you or she'll be have to ready to address, right? So specifically on the app compatibility, like a tiger team to address this if things come up and so on. What as industry and as Lenovo, what you guys are doing to address that?
We definitely learned that application compatibility is a huge, huge challenge and it needs to be addressed for enterprise customers. And but let's be honest, there is no OS that has 100% compatibility, right? But what we have to see is the focus and the growth overall on the ecosystem. And I feel like with the use case that these devices are bringing the market, we will see the ecosystem move very, very fast. I think when it comes to enterprises, I think the right approach is to for enterprise to is to identify the personas that will benefit from these Windows on Snapdragon Copilot Plus PCs. So if it's really around the use cases around the portability or battery life, so think about the road warriors, the sellers who are always on the go, the sales team, right? Or if it's really around the knowledge workers in a business unit, in a particular business unit, the enterprise, the ITDMs would need to look at what are the applications that are required and critical for these personas mm-hmm. versus looking at all the applications in my environment needs to work, mm-hmm. right? So you have to look at, okay, this particular persona will benefit most from Windows on Snapdragon devices. Let's look at the apps that are required and critical, mm-hmm. and let's make sure that is working. And if we look at that, the critical applications that for enterprises, what, security applications, yeah. right? That should work. And most of these enterprises are using multiple security applications, not one. Mm-hmm. The VPN, your device management, and of course your productivity applications yeah. for that particular persona. Yep. So I think then it reduces the subset of applications that need to work.
Okay.
I think that's the right approach with the Windows on Snapdragon devices. And of course, if you start looking at the legacy applications, mm-hmm. you will never get them working on the Windows on Snapdragon. They're legacy applications. They probably, very few users are using those applications. So I think we have to change the way we are looking at how to deploy these devices in the environment, customer environment.
Yeah, maybe, you know, start with, as you mentioned, Road Warriors and others.
Yeah.
For them, battery life is more important than you know, supporting a small application here and there efficiently, right? So maybe start with those, yeah.
Yeah, even some of the knowledge workers, right? The Copilot PC,
yeah.
The biggest persona Microsoft identified is really
yeah.
the knowledge creators, right, around in any business unit. So it's much broader, but you can definitely, I definitely see potential in the right fit, right?
Okay, cool. X-Elite itself has been compared quite a lot in the reviews and benchmarks and so on with Apple Mac
yeah.
and M3 and even M4 and so on. Who do you consider your primary competitors? Is it other Windows PC OEMs or Apple? I mean, obviously Microsoft had to make that point that now they are, you know, competing neck to neck with Apple, but realistically from a individual OEM perspective, how are you seeing the competitive landscape?
Yeah. So our decision to launch the Windows on ARM devices was really around solving customer pain points and provide, mm-hmm. and ultimately provide choice to them, mm-hmm. right? And so if you think about it, 1 in 3 PCs sold is Lenovo.
Mm-hmm.
So we still have 2/3 of the pie that doesn't buy Lenovo PC.
Yeah.
So if I have to pick the competition, pretty much everyone is our competition, right? Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the total addressable market, and it's going to be bigger in 2024-25, especially with the Windows 11 refresh cycle.
Mm-hmm.
It is this replacement cycle after the COVID
yeah.
peak, right, mm-hmm. in 2020.
Yeah.
So the market is going to be big. So that means we want to give the customers the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And AI, like I think there was one study IDC released, which was like 3 in 4 ITDMs definitely consider AI one of the biggest buying criteria.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be able to provide the best-in-class AI devices to our customers, right?
Yeah, cool.
So it's really providing the choice to our customers, and everyone is our competition.
Okay. And also, I mean, you know, the way AI is going, everything that you do will have AI in it. So if you're an IT manager, you want to make sure you future-proof the pieces you're buying for next few years, right? So
absolutely.
It makes sense that it has the best NPU. So a quick one, Windows ARM. So, you know, it's been tried before, but it is much bigger, much different now. Specifically, what are the top 3 things you think Windows on ARM has it different this time and make it work and make it a success?
Windows 11 is a big one, right? When
yeah.
we launched the X13S in 2022, handful of customers were on Windows 11. So with Windows 10 end of service in 2025,
mm-hmm.
what's favorable for ARM is customers are moving to Windows 11.
Yeah.
So that's one.
Mm-hmm.
I would say their application compatibility is improved significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they have a great value proposition, right? It's just aligned, the battery life,
mm-hmm.
the performance, right? It's not...
Yeah.
The performance is stellar, that benchmarks we are seeing. And of course, a huge sustainability story for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the value proposition in addition to AI is huge this time.
And it's much bigger ecosystem as well. And all the OEMs like yours coming up with multiple PCs, not just one PC standing in the corner here somewhere, right?
Yeah, and I also think like AI, from AI perspective, the devices are in the market with these end capable CPU, GPU, NPU.
Yeah.
The software ecosystem is going to grow further, right? Yeah. It's the hardware first, software to follow.
Yeah.
So we have to just wait and be patient. It's going to change, I think. It's going to be changing like next year or two very, very drastically.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, so thinking about processors, I mean, AMD and Intel are, you know, quite behind. AMD said they will have their PCs with their latest NPU supported AI 300 soon. So from your vantage point, I mean, you've been a collaborator with them for a long time, right? And as you said, one of the biggest PC providers. How are you looking the positioning of these? Will it be like, you know, you have similar models with option like what you have now? Now you can select different SoCs for you know, when you're configuring your PC when you're buying. Will it be just like that? They'll have, you know, ARM or X8 as one option, or it'll be different categories with different tiering and different positioning and so on when the Intel PCs come into market?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, without going into the roadmap here, I would say the biggest thing is providing options, right? So different SoC options for our customers. Mm-hmm. And as a number one PC provider, it is essential that we offer a robust portfolio that caters to all customer needs. So Intel, AMD, Qualcomm, it really provides unique value proposition to the customer with Intel's mature ecosystem, with Qualcomm's great battery life, right? AMD, great value for price. I think it's just, it's a win-win. I would say, honestly, competition is good, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
At the end, customer wins.
Yeah,
they get the best choice. And in this intense competitive environment, our job is to make sure that we are giving option to our customers.
Okay. Yeah, smart way to avoid the question. Okay. And in terms of, you know, the channel strategy and others for ARM PCs, I mean, it needs a little bit more training, sales training, and others, be it consumer or the enterprise channel, right? How is that happening? Will that change as we move to AMD and Intel SoCs?
I think we work with all our partners to drive marketing and demand generation activities, and we have a mature channel ecosystem, and we closely work with our partners. So our goal is to really design a more flexible, agile strategy that benefits our customers and partners. So it's probably going to evolve. I don't see anything drastically changing, but we'll work with pretty much everyone.
Okay. Because, I mean, when the Lenovo's launched in Best Buy's event, went around.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, sales, some were more obviously more equipped to answer the questions than others. But I saw there is some sales training happening, which
is
good.
And I think the biggest thing, Prakash, is like education and training. I think it's so important as part of the go-to-market play or a marketing effort. It's really important to educate our customers and our sellers and our retail partners, because with so many different options comes, there might come confusion. So our job is to make sure that we have a robust training and education for our partners.
Yeah, it's paradox of choice, right? There's so many people don't choose it all. Okay, so at Computex, Qualcomm CEO Cristiano said that he's forecasting 50% of PC market to be an ARM in next 5 years or so. So what is your view on it? And you know, you're the number one PC provider in the world, so.
Well, I think it's good to have ambition, right? Like, why not? That's what fuels that that healthy competition I was talking about. And you can look at AMD journey, right? They have massive market share now. Look where they started. And Qualcomm has a very, very competitive product. And whether or not they achieve 50% market share in the next 5 years, I think I can't answer that. You may just have to ask Cristiano. But I would say it's good to have ambition.
So in looking forward, how do you see the evolution of AI PCs or Copilot Plus PCs, what you want to call them, Do you see these will be a separate category in your portfolio, or going forward, you know, every PC will have some sort of AI in it, so it becomes, you know, across the board, not a differentiated category as such. How do you see when you're looking at your roadmap? Will there be non-AI PCs or non-Copilot Plus PCs as well, or all are like, you know, different shades of gray?
Yeah, if you will. It's interesting. It's an interesting question because I've heard that question a couple of times from our partners, right? Especially in this area, in this phase of change, you would see mix of devices, PCs without NPU, PCs with NPU of 10, 15 tops, PCs with NPU of 40 plus tops. Ultimately, if you just take a base example from the evolution of phones, right?
Yeah.
We had flip phones, like we call dumb phones now. Pretty much everything is smartphone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely expect in the next few years, and it might be 2-3 years, pretty much everything would be an AI PC. I don't know, like AI PC definition for us is much more broader, actually. It's not hardware-centric definition. Like Lenovo defined AI PC like IDC is focused on hardware, right? Microsoft is focused on 40-plus tops NPU. Our definition of AI PC has like 5 key features. We're looking at personal intelligent agent using a natural language interface. Are you looking at that compressed LLM on device, which is the Copilot plus PC features? Or you're looking at that computing with CPU, GPU, and NPU? That's another option. Or you're looking at rich and open AI application ecosystem, which is not just one ISV, but really pretty much multiple different ISV working on providing on-device AI experiences. And ultimately, privacy and security protection is critical, right? So that's the core tenet of AI PC, as the data lives on the device. So our definition of AI PC is much more broader than just saying it needs to have an NPU.
All right. This was a great discussion, Pooja. Thank you very much for all the insights. I think this and next year, as you mentioned, is going to be really key for the PC industry, not only from our perspective, but also in the infusion of AI in them on, you know, what the uptake is, what are the new use cases that will come on, and so on, right? So I'll definitely be closely watching it.
Yeah, we are definitely. I think we want to deliver good customer outcomes through AI, right? So really around productivity, efficiency, and how do we transform the businesses? So we are really looking at it from what are the different experiences we want to deliver for the customers? And that's important.
Very well. Again, congratulations on launching these PCs. And thank you again for coming over to Tantra's Mantra.
Thank you so much for having me, Prakash. Thank you.
So folks, that's all we have for now. I hope you found this discussion informative and useful. If so, please hit like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening this on. I'll be back soon with another episode, putting light on another interesting subject. Bye-bye for now.